There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume. We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass, or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want, because this is
Mystery Playhouse 90.1.
And welcome once again into the Mystery Playhouse. I am the Count, your host of horror. Yes, come in out of the warm, dry outdoors. If you think it's cold right now, wait until you hear tonight's chilling stories, huh? Yes, tonight's lineup is so scary, so spooky, you may never want to hear us again. Oh, please. I'm not hot dogging you. I tell you, drastic measures were needed in response to this horrible letter. Some of you pranksters out there, I don't know. You said you liked your show, huh? Scream as you might. Allow me to quote this, huh? Dear Count, I like your show. Oh, sticks and stones may break my bones, but stakes will never hurt me, huh? Indeed. There's more. He says, I especially think the weird circle is funny. Oh, funny, is it? Well, wait till tonight. Maybe you'll die laughing, huh? Really, I'm skipping through to the end now. It's too graphic here. Ah, here it is. It says, don't change a thing, and I'll keep listening. Oh, is that a threat or a promise, huh? I'd like to know. Just for that, whoever you are, and I know it's one of you kids out there, I'm going to put on tonight a super duper scary Larry show, huh? Yes! You deserve it too. For tonight, you'll hear the goblin from the so funny weird circle. And then, that horror genius, Humphrey Bogart, in the Maltese Falcon. Ooh, scary. Ah, but first, the scariest of them all. It's Howley Cat in Lights Out. So go ahead, turn the lights out, and let's see who's laughing in the end. So scary! Oh!
Lights out for the devil and Mr. O. It is later than you think. Turn out your lights now. We bring you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly so that if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now. This is Mr. O. Arch Obler. I bring you a play titled Alley Cat with apologies to all cats, large and small, particularly very large ones. Which brings me to a question. Mr., have you ever quarreled with your wife? Or, lady, have you ever had harsh words with your husband? Of course not. Perish the thought, I withdraw the question. But, Pop and Mama, lovers, if you've ever quarreled with each other, I'll guarantee you'll never want to do it again after you listen to Alley Cat. But that happens after a word from your announcer.
Scary!
And now, if you haven't already done so, turn off your lights now and listen to Alley Cat.
Hey,
girls, cut it out.
Every woman with all
Linda, for the love of... Cut it out, will you?
The old man will be panning here in a minute.
Yeah, so what? Give me my drink, Queenie. Oh, baby, do I feel swell.
Hey, look what time it is. Come on, Queenie, we better blow out of here.
Yeah. No, don't go. I don't want to be alone.
What do you mean, alone? Your husband's here, ain't he?
Ah, that guy. What does he know about having fun? Work. Makes me sicker. I've never been sick before. That's pretty good, huh, Kenny?
Yeah.
Come on, stick around. Let's have some more fun. St. Louis, woman with all a diamond ring.
For heaven's sake, Linda.
Well, speak of the devil. Hiya, Johnny boy. Come on in. The water's fine. Only it ain't water.
Linda, for heaven's sake, I'm trying to work.
Ah, go away. You're spoiling my party. Throw him out of here, Kenny. He's only my husband.
Linda, take it easy.
Get out of here. You, whatever your name is.
Okay.
And take that woman with you. Go on, clear out.
No, wait. Don't listen to him. It's my house. My house. Why, you... You kick them out.
Linda,
my friends.
I beg
you. You kick them out.
With you to keep these people out of this house while I'm trying to get some work done. Haven't you any consideration at all?
You kick them out. My friends.
Yes, and I'll do it again every time I find them here. They're no good, not a one of them. You've promised me time and time again to give them up.
I'll call them back. I'll call them all back. You can't tell me what to do. Not me. They're my friends, mine. I'd give a dozen of you for one of them.
All right, Linda. If that's the way you feel. You haven't got a grain of loyalty in you. All I ask is a little peace and quiet in my own home, and I can't even have that.
Go away.
Night after night, you and these people yowling and screaming like a pack of alley cats, and you the worst of all. I'm through, Linda. I'm through with you for good.
Oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not.
Keep away. Oh, Linda.
You see? You're not through with me at all. You'll never be through with me. Never.
Oh, Linda.
Now, let me go. Never. Let me go! I don't want you, you fool. You're not through with me. I'm through with you.
No, I'm tired
of you. Do you hear me? Tired of you. I'm going to get so far away from that smug face of yours, I couldn't see it with a telescope.
Linda, my wife.
Ha! Your wife. Why do you think I married you?
Well, you loved me.
I married you because I was sick of working in a two-bit barbershop, because I was sick of living in a hall bedroom wearing bargain sale dresses. I wanted dough, plenty of it, all I could get. And you were the best chance to get it that came my way.
Oh, no, Linda, you did love me. You must have loved me.
Oh, why, I loved you about as much as that canary up there loves its cage. I told myself I'd stay with you a year, divorce you, stick you for plenty of alimony, and then get out.
We've been married 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. Because you fooled me. That's why.
I fooled you?
Yeah. You started to make a lot of money. More money than I ever thought you could make. So you're giving me the air,
No,
huh?
No, Linda, I love you. I didn't mean what I said. I didn't.
Well, I did.
Linda, don't leave me. You're no good. I know you're no good, but heaven help me, I love you. I'll never love anybody else.
Get out of my way.
No, I won't let you go. You've got to stay.
Get your hands off.
You're no good. You cost me my self-respect, but you stay with me. You stay with me or I'll cut you off without a cent. You'll never get a dime from me, not a dime. Stop it. Stop laughing.
Oh, you Sam. You fat-headed Sam.
Stop that.
So you're gonna cut me off without a cent, are you? Why, you fool. I've got everything that belongs to you now. You hear me? Everything.
What are you talking about?
This house. It's in my name, isn't it? The car. It's in my name, isn't it?
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
Oh, wouldn't I? Well, listen to this, my darling husband. I cleaned out the bank account yesterday.
Oh, no.
Every cent of it. I won't be in the street. Oh, no. You will. Now, this is my house. Get your things and get out of here.
I'll kill you.
No,
I'll kill you.
No, let me go. Let me go. Oh.
Touch me again and I'll tear your eyes out.
You cat.
Get out of my way.
That's what you are, a cat. A big, white, heartless cat.
Get out of my
way. You think like one, you screech like one, you claw like one. You even look like one. Your eyes, they're cat's eyes. That's what they are, cat's eyes. A cat, that's what you are. A white cat. I didn't marry a woman. I married a cat.
Keep it up.
Laugh
Keep
at
it
me.
Up. You're doing
swell. Go ahead, laugh at me. You're a cat, a sneaking, yowling cat. A cat. Cat. You're a cat. A cat. Cat. You're a cat.
Now, that's enough of that. I don't like it.
A cat.
Stop saying it.
A cat, you hear me? A cat.
Sean. Stop staring at me like that. Stop staring at me. John, what's happening to me? John, my head. I can hardly see. John, help me. John.
Linda.
What are you staring at? What are you staring at? What are you...
Linda! Linda!
Now, John, you've got to control yourself. Everything will be all right.
Oh, Doctor, what have I done? What have I done?
John, please. Please pull yourself together.
I can't.
You are not entirely to blame for what happened.
Oh, I did it. I'm to blame. What will I do? What will I do?
Stop talking like that. It's preposterous to say you are to blame. She was in a hysterical condition.
I know.
The suggestion that she was a cat caught her in an unguarded moment and resulted in temporary neurosis.
But she... Doctor, can I go in and see her?
But I tell you, she's sleeping.
I know, but... Doctor, I've got to see her. I've got to look at her. I've got to make sure she's all right. Don't you see? I've got to make sure.
Now, John, please. You had a hard time of it. You'd better get to bed and get some rest.
No, no. Doctor, listen to me. I've got to see her again. I've got to make sure she's all right. I can't rest until I know.
But I tell you... Oh, very well. Just for a moment.
Yes.
Be very quiet.
Yes.
There. You see? She's resting very nicely.
Doctor, look.
What?
Her hands. Look at her hands. And her teeth. Linda.
No, no, John. You'll waken her. John.
Linda. Oh, Doctor, listen to her. Listen to her.
Steady, John.
I can't stand it, I tell you. Doctor, what is it? What's happening to her?
I don't know, John. I don't know.
Oh, listen to her. What'll I do? What'll I do?
Fingers into claws. Teeth into fangs. It can't be happening.
But it is.
And yet I've seen it with my own eyes.
You've got to do something, Doctor. You've got to. You're my friend. You've got to help me.
But what? In the name of all that's rational, what?
Well, think. There must be something you can do. A drug. Something. Something.
Oh, John, I don't know what to say. I can't think. I'll call in someone else. Yes, that's it. I'll inform the authorities. They'll take care of everything.
No, wait, Doctor, wait.
What's the matter? What is it?
You're going to inform the authorities?
Yes, of course. Don't you see, my boy, it's the simplest way out of this.
Way out?
Of course, for you and for me.
What do you mean?
This horrible thing that's happened to Linda, it goes beyond just you and me. It goes beyond the normal into the supernatural. The world should know about it.
No, stop. You mean you're going to let everyone know what's happened to Linda?
Of course I am.
But you can't do that. She's my wife. Do you hear me? My wife.
No, now don't get excited again, John. Listen sensibly. We owe it to science.
Science? Who cares about science? She's Linda. She's my wife. And I cursed her to God and I turned her into a yowling beast. It's my shame, mine. And you're not going to tell anyone else about it. No one.
It's my duty, John. I must inform the authorities.
No. Keep away from that phone. Keep away, I say.
I'm sorry, John. I must call.
John. My friend. No, no. Try to sleep, darling. Try to sleep. Yes, yes, I know, darling, but it's almost morning. You must rest. Sleep, Linda, sleep, my darling. All right, darling, I won't cry. I've got to be strong, I've got to help you. And I did help you. He was going to tell them about you, everyone. They'd have taken you away from me, locked you up, pointed at you, laughed at you. But I stopped him, Linda. I stopped him for you. He called me friend. But you're my wife, beloved. And I love you. I pleased you, haven't I, my darling? I never could please you before, could I? But now I've pleased you. I'll tell them he never came here, and no one will ever know, darling. No one but you and I. What is it, darling? What's the matter? Why are you getting up? What is it? Why go to the window? What do you want out there? Oh, if I could only understand you, if I could only know what you're trying to say to me. Linda. Linda, stop. On my knees, I'm begging you to stop. Linda, beloved, stop. Stop.
Ladies and gentlemen, we leave our The Devil in Mr. O's Story Alley cast to take a normal breath and a word from your announcer.
Frightening.
And now back to our The Devil and Mr. O story of Alley Cat.
Yes, yes, I'm coming.
Good morning, Mr. Taylor.
Oh, it's you.
I found this note saying you wanted to talk to me. And, yeah, I hope you're not going to quit taking milk from me.
No, I'm not going to stop taking milk. That's what I wanted to see you about. I want milk. More milk. Cream. Everything.
Well, sure. How much do you want?
Four bottles of milk. No, six.
Six?
Yes, and cream. Six bottles of cream.
Is something wrong, Mr. Taylor?
Wrong? Why do you think something's wrong?
Well, I only meant...
You meant what? Speak up, you meant what?
Well, don't get sore, Mr. Taylor. I just meant... Well, you don't look so well, and... Well, you know how it is. Sometimes a fella has a couple too many and starts ordering all the milk in the world.
You fool, I'm not drunk. Do you want some of that milk or do I have to get another milkman?
No, I'll get it for you.
Well, hurry.
Six quarts, six cream. Only him and his old lady. The guy's nuts.
Well, good morning, Mr. Taylor. Early again this morning, ain't you?
Morning.
My first customer every morning for the last 3 days. I was saying to my wife this
morning... Yes, Mr. Heinrich, some other time. I'm in a hurry. My order, please.
Sure, but you didn't give me an order yet. How about a nice broiling steak?
No, nothing like that.
But broiling a steak...
No, stop it. I'm in a hurry, I tell you.
All right. You don't have to get so excited, Mr. Taylor. Now, if you'll tell me what you want, I'll get it for you.
Oh, well, I don't know exactly... A couple of pounds of fresh liver. Yes, that's it, fresh liver.
What? Again?
You heard me?
Oh, sure, I heard you, but look here, for 3 days now, ever since your wife went away, you eat nothing but liver.
Are you going to fill my order?
Sure, I'll fill your order. Nice and fresh, huh? So, 2 pounds, yeah. There we are. Say... You'd think you was raising cats or something.
What? Why do you say that?
Well, you buy liver every day. Oh, this morning I caught a couple of mice in a trap. Maybe you'd like to take them along for the cat tour.
Don't say that!
Don't say that!
Mr. Taylor, deliver. Forgot. Man's crazy. What did I say that was wrong? Cats like to eat mice.
My Linda, my dearest Linda, close to me, so close to me. Oh, my darling, it's better this way. You can't leave me now. I'll have you with me always. I'll keep you here. Yes, just you and I. I won't answer it. They'll go away. All right. All right, I'll answer it. Linda, it can't be anyone that knows. He's dead. I buried him, Linda. You know that. No. Stay here, my beloved. They mustn't see you. Be very quiet.
Yes, I'm coming. Well, what is it?
Are you the owner of this building?
Yes, what do you want?
Kerrigan's the name. I'm your neighbor. I've got that place across the alley from you.
Oh, my neighbor?
Yeah, Kerrigan's the name. I'm with the department.
Department?
Yeah, I'm desk sergeant at the 3rd District Station.
A policeman?
Yeah, I'm off duty today, so I thought I'd drop over and speak to you. Do you mind if I step in for a moment?
Step in? Oh, no. No, not at all. Not at all.
Thank you. Well, you got a nice place here.
Yes. Nice, very nice.
You know the same contractors made this place as made mine? You didn't know that, I bet.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, an Irishman by the name of Gil Hooley. If he was alive now, some of the people along here that bought places from him would murder him. What with the trouble they're having.
Trouble?
Yeah, cheap material, plastic cracking, floor sagging, stuff like that.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Now, you take my place. I've had to have a new roof put on and new gutters put in, and I never know what'll go wrong next. Anything wrong around here?
Yeah. Oh, no, nothing at all.
Well, then you're lucky. Say.
What's the matter?
I just remember why I come over. If you don't mind, I'll tell you.
Yes?
Now, it ain't me that's complaining, Mr. Taylor. I'm the kind of a man that can sleep in a boiler factory. But it's my error. Ah, there's a light sleeper for you. I always say that if a star in heaven twinkles too much, the noise wakes up my error.
What's the trouble?
Oh, no trouble at all, Mr. Taylor. Like I'm telling you, I'm the last man in the world to go around having trouble with me neighbors. But you know how the women are. Always finding something to make a fuss about. Oh, say, I'm not disturbing her, am I?
Disturbing?
Yeah, you know, your missus. She's not sleeping in the bedroom there, is she?
No, of course not. There's no one in there.
I thought maybe seeing the door is closed.
No, I tell you, there's no one in there. My wife is out of town.
Ah, well, that's fine. I always like to talk things over man to man without the women around. That's why I made my Ella stay home. Let me handle this, I says. If there's anything wrong, I says, let me do the talking and we'll stay good.
What is it? What's wrong? What do you want to tell me?
Well, to put it plain, it's the cat.
Cat?
Yeah, the cat. You just got it, didn't you?
You had a cat?
Yeah, it started a few nights ago. Now, it ain't disturbed me none, like I says, but my Ella. Well, you see, our bedroom window faces right on the alley, and by golly, she hears every meow that animal makes.
You're wrong.
Huh?
I have no cat.
But my Ella heard... I heard it, too, for that matter.
I have no cat.
But I'm telling you, it came from this house.
I tell you, I have no cat. Isn't that sufficient?
Well, now, seeing as you put it so plain, I'll be speaking of plain myself. I'm telling you, I heard a cat yowling last night, and the night before, and the night before that. And as sure as me name's Thomas Kerrigan, it came right from this house. Now, what do you say to that?
Get out.
Now, wait a second, me bucko. Don't get on your high horse.
Get out. Get out of my house.
Well, you sure are making a lot of noise about nothing, young fella. But it's your house, and if that's the kind of a neighbor you want to be, I guess I could...
What? What are you standing there for? Get out! Get out!
Just a minute. Take it easy. No cat, eh? Well, what was that I just heard?
Nothing. Nothing at all. You've got no right to be...
You may not be a liar, but you're sure of something close to it. If that ain't a cat in that bedroom there, then I ain't never heard a cat.
Get out! Get out of here!
Oh, no, I won't. Listen to that cat. If that ain't creating a public nuisance, I'd like to know what it is.
It's none of your business. Get out of here. This is my house. Get out of here.
Stop pulling at me, bucko. I may be off duty, but I'm still an officer of the law, and I'm telling you, that cat in there is violating the city ordinance. Now, if you don't make it shut up and disturbing me, Ella, I will.
Stay away from that door. Stay away from that door.
Say, listen to it. That ain't no cat you got in there.
Yes, I lied. It is a cat. It's just a cat. But I'll make it be quiet. But go away. Go away.
Now, wait a minute. Take it easy. If it's just a cat, what are you getting so excited about? Just look at
her. No.
Look at her. Your eyes blazing. What's going on here? I think I'll have a look.
No. Stay away.
No. Get away. Take it away.
I told you to go.
My gun. I'll get my gun. My gun.
Wow. Linda. Wow. Linda, did you hear him? His gun. Wow. Yes. Close to me. Yes, darling, stay close to me. If he comes back, you'll... No, they won't hurt you. I won't let them. I did this to you, I did. I cursed you to God. No, they won't hurt you. They won't. Wait there. Wait there. I've got to find it. They won't hurt you, Linda. No, they can't. I've got it. Now they won't hurt you, Linda. I swear it. They won't ever hurt you. No, don't look at my hand. No, why shouldn't you look at it? Yes, there's a gun in my hand. But not to hurt you, darling. It's just to help you. I swear it. To help you. Yes, so close to me. I must do it quickly. Quickly. No, don't. Don't try to pull away. No, Linda, stay here. I must. Told you, I must. You'll be back in a moment. I mustn't miss. Linda, my darling. No. I heard my beloved. I heard you. Wait for me, my beloved.
This is Mr. O. Arch Obler again. Let me tell you about next week's package of Thrills and Chills. It's a story about... but more after a word from your own announcer.
Boo!
This is Mr. O. again. Have you ever wanted to turn time backwards? I mean really backwards. We do that next time with a play titled Neanderthal. It's a story about a past which, I promise you, will make you forget, at least for a while, the woes and troubles of today. But that's next time. It is later than you think.
Kids, I don't hear anyone laughing now. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue, huh?
Yes, I thought so.
To me, that was the ultimate horror story. It had everything, all the options. You might even equate it to the Cadillac of Terror, huh?
Oh, yes.
But it didn't lack a cat. No, it had it all. I think I'd even go so far as to call it perfect. Huh?
Oh, yes.
Scary, scary. How about that woman, huh? Like, I've heard of catting around, but really, huh? I guess she just liked to get her husband, how do you say, jealous as a dog, huh? But he didn't let her go so easy, no. He had the bone to pick with her, huh? That's one cat fight that wound up really in the pound, huh? Yes, except this is one place where when they put you to sleep, you'll never wake up, huh? Yes, I can't help but guess what she would say if she had another life. Probably call it a catastrophe, huh?
The Weird Circle. In this cave by the restless sea, we are met to call from out of the past stories, strange and weird. Bellkeeper, toll the bell, so that all may know we are gathered again in the Weird Circle.
Of a world gone by, speak again their immortal tale, the Goblet.
This is an occasion. It calls for wine. Sweet wine, to think back, to reflect, to decide. Wine to make a fateful decision. Ah, well. A toast, my silver nemesis. Come, a toast to Francesca, who has left me. Yes, to Francesca. Why not? Well, little goblet, we're alone, huh? Now we can talk, just you and I, huh? They would think me mad if they came upon me now. Came upon me, His Excellency, Donaldo Rinaldi, governor of this island, talking to a silver goblet. But they do not know that you are really alive, that you have a black heart and a blacker soul. No. They do not know, but I know. Now I must make a decision, my beautiful, glittering friend, whether to keep you forever or destroy you forever, whether to go on until death with you or without you. Strange how a sweet wine tastes bitter when taken from your cold embrace, little goblet. I look deep into your silvery mirror, and you reflect the things in my mind, little goblet, so that I may see them with my eyes. Recall to me a day long ago.
Donaldo, why are you looking at me like that?
Don't you know, Francesca?
I
love you, Francesca.
Donaldo.
Yes, I love you. I ask you to be my wife.
I am of humble birth, the daughter of the village doctor. And you are His Excellency, the governor.
You are a woman and I am a man.
And that is all that is important. Will you, Francesca? Will you marry me?
Yes, Donato. If you want me, I will be your wife.
Oh, little goblet. I shall never forget that glorious day. The day before you were created. I was delirious with happiness. I bought Francesca every gift money could buy, fine gowns, a new coach, spirited horses. And I found that Francesca had a passion for things wrought in silver. I found a young silversmith who lived on the island and whose name was Ferdinand, a crafty fellow. He made Francesca a bracelet. It was a rare piece of work, a work of art. And in its graceful lines and smooth luster, there was something else. An indefinable, strange something. When I slipped the bracelet over Francesca's wrist, she was breathless, enchanted.
Oh, it's beautiful, Donaldo. Exquisite.
I'm glad you're pleased, Francesca. Shall I bring you other things from the same craftsman? A necklace, earrings?
I did not know that there was a silversmith like this in all of Italy.
There may not be, for all I know. I had this made right here on the island.
Here? On the island? Donaldo, who is this silversmith?
Well, a man named Ferdinand. I found him quite by accident.
Ferdinand.
You speak as though the name intrigues you, Francesca. Do you know him?
No, I've never met him. Face to face. But it's almost as though...
As though what, Francesca?
I don't know. What I do know is that his work was made just for me. Look at this bracelet, Donaldo. See how it curves over my wrist. Somehow it feels warm there instead of cold. Almost as though it were live flesh instead of metal.
Oh, come now, Francesca. You're imagining things.
No, Donaldo, I'm right. This silver has a strange, lifelike quality. When I put my cheek against it, it feels like a warm... living caress. See? Hold your hand to it.
It feels like silver to me, my dear. Like cold metal. But if it makes you happy to believe it alive, you shall have your whimsy. More wine, little goblet. Wine to think, to reflect, to recall. More wine to redden your silvery insides and to warm mine. Yeah, it grows more bitter still, this vintage. All that you are is bitterness, and all that touches you grows bitter. But come now, listen to me. Where was I? Oh, yes, the bracelet. Francesca could not take her eyes off it. She wore it constantly, caressed it, touched it tenderly, insisted it had a heart and a soul. I was happy. I laughed then. If I'd only known. Then came another day. It was a day I thought of happy omen. And did I not have a right to think that?
Donaldo, you know... There is something I cannot understand.
What is it, my dear?
How can this wonderful silversmith of yours, this Ferdinand, capture so much of me in his silver without ever having seen me?
He'll see you today, Francesca.
Donaldo, what do you mean?
He's working on your wedding ring, and today it's ready to be fitted.
Oh, so I shall see Ferdinand today.
Yes. Is meeting this silversmith so important to you, my dear? I thought it would be the wedding ring that would intrigue you.
Oh, yes, Donaldo, of course it is. Forgive me, it's just that I'm glad you commissioned Ferdinand to make it. I love his work so much.
Does it matter so much who makes it, as long as it binds us together?
Of course not. It's just that I thought you might have sent for an elaborate ring in Italy.
There isn't enough time. The wedding is too near. Well, my dear, when shall we go down for the fitting?
Now, Donaldo. Let us go now.
Even then, I must have had some faint premonition of what was to come. But at the time, Francesca's eagerness seemed natural enough. I called for a coach and we rode down to Ferdinand's shop.
A place you'll know well, huh, little goblin? Francesca, my dear, this is Ferdinand.
Signorina, I am honored.
No, it is I who am honored to meet so great an artist.
You are very kind, signorina.
You have great talent, rare talent. Things you have made for me, why, they seem to breathe life.
I felt the same life in my fingers when I molded the silver and shaped it. I made it just for you, signorina.
All this is very well, but it's taking time. What of the ring, Ferdinand? Is it ready?
Yes, signor. Here it is.
Oh, it is lovely. Lovely. Like all the other things you make.
Come, my dear. Let me try it on your finger. Huh. It's a loose fit, Ferdinand.
Yes, I regret it is, signor, and my apologies. This is the first time I have made an error in my knowledge of the lady. Up to now, I have always seemed to know her.
Yes, I have told His Excellency of this strange feeling of affinity many times.
Well, Ferdinand, what are we going to do about the ring?
I shall have to rework it again, Excellency.
But that will take time, man. The wedding's only 3 days away.
Have no fear, Excellency. It will be ready for another fitting tomorrow.
Tomorrow? I have affairs of state to attend to tomorrow. It will be impossible for me to come down. Why not just measure her finger now and be done with it?
No, Excellency. There must be another fitting. I want this ring to be perfect.
Of course, Donaldo. You can attend to your work tomorrow. I'll come down alone in the carriage. It'll only take a few minutes.
Oh, very well. But see that the ring fits tomorrow, Ferdinand, or you'll answer to me. How was I to know, little goblet? How was I to know that this little silversmith had captured my beloved not only with his work, but with himself? Like a fool, I let her go down to his shop alone. It was only later, when it was too late, that I found out what had happened.
The ring is ready, signorina. Allow me to put it on your finger.
Oh, thank you, Ferdinand. It seems to fit perfectly.
A symbol of happiness. Or is it, signorina?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
I'm not sure I do. Ronaldo's a good man. He's rich, handsome, considerate, and kind.
I did not mention Donaldo's name, signorina.
No. No, but you had it on your mind. There isn't a woman on this island who does not envy me.
A woman cannot live on envy, signorina. She must love and be loved.
But Donaldo loves me. That is apparent.
Yes, but do you love him?
Why,
the truth, signorina. No, never mind. I know the truth. I can see it in your eyes. Now can you see what is in mine?
Ferdinand, what...
I made things of silver only for you. They called you, did they not, Francesca? They drew you to me. I made them live. I molded them with my heart and soul. When I polished them, I saw your face in the reflection. They were meant for you because I was meant for you.
Ferdinand, what are you saying?
I'm saying that I love you. And you love me.
Ferdinand, I...
You came to me alone. You can never leave me. We are one together, bound by a cord of silver round our hearts. You love me, Francesca. Say it. Say it.
Yes. Yes. I love you, Ferdinand.
Oh, Francesca, my darling. Didn't you know? Did you just discover it?
No. No, I knew. I must have known.
You did know. I sent you the message of my love and the silver I made, and you responded.
But it's too late, Ferdinand. I promised Donaldo that...
No, it is not too late. You cannot ruin the rest of your life to keep a promise. Come away with me, Francesca. There's a little inn I know by the sea. We'll find a priest there and be married.
When Francesca did not return, I hurried down to the shop. Are you thirsty, little goblin? More wine? At the shop, a coachman told me he had seen Francesca leave with the silversmith Ferdinand and had overheard their destination. I hurried after them, my brain fevered with a kind of madness and with murder in my heart. I entered the inn and softly opened the door to their room a few inches. They did not hear me.
Francesca, my beloved, I have a gift for you.
Why, it's a goblet. A silver goblet. Oh, Ferdinand, it's beautiful. Like everything else you make. Alive.
Yes. When I made it, I hated it. It was to be my wedding gift to you and to him. But now it is ours, ours. And remember, as long as you have it, I shall have you. It will be a symbol of our love. Come, Francesca. While we're waiting for the priest, let us drink a toast to our future happiness.
No, Francesca.
Donato!
Put on your cape, Francesca. I'm taking you home.
Don't go with him, Francesca. He cannot hold you now. You're free of him. Don't go.
As for you, my little silversmith, I'm going to banish you from this island forever.
You know I'm a good man, my evil little goblet. I thought what I was doing was best for Francesca. I believed she'd get over this foolish infatuation and marry me. You see, I loved her. And after all, I could give her everything she wanted. I kept her in my villa under my housekeeper Rosa's chaperonage, hoping that she would relent and marry me. I suppose Francesca was, in a sense, a prisoner. I don't know. All I know is that I wanted her more than anything else in the world. And I tried everything. Francesca! Francesca! Oh, my dear, you need a wrap. You'll catch cold out here on the balcony.
Leave me alone, Donaldo.
Oh, I see you already have company. That goblet. Holding it up to the sun again. Watching it reflect the light. Talking to it. Fondling it.
Please, Donaldo. I don't want to discuss it.
Perhaps you don't, but I do. When are you going to come to your senses, my dear? People think you're mad. Each day at sunset, standing on this balcony, holding that accursed silver goblet to the sun till it dazzles the eyes.
I did not ask to come here. You've kept me here for 2 years.
Francesca, listen to me. I've got a surprise for you. Rosa?
Oh, yes, signorina. 5 new gowns, all the way from Paris. They are exquisite, the latest mode. The dressmaker is waiting for you now.
Well, Francesca? Doesn't that interest you? Don't you care?
When will you learn, Donaldo? Your gifts don't interest me. I don't care for your gowns and your jewels.
There's only one thing you care about, eh, Francesca? That silversmith, Ferdinand.
Please go away. Please leave me alone.
Francesca, for the love of heaven, will you put that goblet down? Stop holding it in the sun. The reflection's blinding me.
It does not blind me, Donaldo.
That goblet, always that goblet. Must I compete against a piece of silver? Must it always be between us? Give me that goblet, Francesca.
No. No, Donaldo. It is all I have to remind me of.
A Ferdinand? Precisely. Give me that goblet.
You will not take it away. You will not. If you do, I shall die.
On the contrary, my dear, you'll come to your senses again. Now, for the last time.
No. No.
Very well, then. I shall have to take it by force.
Donaldo.
Give me that goblet.
No.
I must be free of it. And so must you. You recall all this, my little silver friend. Do I see you grinning at me from your perch there on the table? Well, then I shall drown your grin with more wine. More wine to think. To think. For the time has come, little goblet, when you and I must come to terms, one way or the other. Yes. Wine still tastes bitter. No matter. I must live with bitterness forever in any event. But recall again what happened. I took you away from Francesca, and strode down to the rocks and threw you into the Mediterranean as far as I could throw. I saw the water carry you out, and then with my own eyes saw you sink. Yes, sink. And then, a week later... Someone's at the door, Rosa. See who it is.
Yes, Excellency.
Good afternoon, Signora. My name is Mario. I am a fisher boy at the village.
What do you want?
Pardon, Signora, but I must see His Excellency the Governor.
Go away, boy. His Excellency cannot be disturbed by ragamuffins.
But, Signora, I have found something very precious. It is so precious that it could only belong to His Excellency. See?
Why, it is the Signorina's goblet.
The goblet? Boy, you found the goblet?
Yes, Your Excellency.
Come here, boy. Come into the room. Now, tell me where you found this goblet.
On the beach near the Narrows, Excellency. I was fishing there when I spied it coming in on the tide. I picked it up and came straight here.
Oh, is this a cursed goblet? Always it must come between us. Why? Why?
Excellency,
Go away now, boy. Go away, do you hear?
Yes, Signora. Yes.
Oh, Excellency, is something wrong?
Yes, Rosa. This goblet is wrong. It's a silver incarnation of evil that must be destroyed.
Excellency, why did you throw the goblet like that? You broke the lamp.
I must destroy this evil thing. Smash it against the wall.
Oh, Excellency!
Oh, Rose. Rosa, pick up the goblet from the floor. Give it to me.
Yes, Excellency. Here it is.
No. No. It cannot be. I smashed the goblet against the wall. You saw me, Rosa. And yet, look.
It is a miracle, Excellency. A miracle.
Yes. A devil's miracle. There's not a nick in it. Not a scratch. And its surface shines brighter than ever. What could I do, huh? Little goblet? What could I do against a power like yours? I thought then of Francesca. Believe me, I meant her no harm. I'm a good man, really. A good governor, a humane man. And I loved Francesca. I brought the goblet into her. When she saw it, a strange light came into her eye.
The goblet. Donaldo, you've brought the goblet back.
Yes, my dear.
Give it to me. Give it to me, Donaldo.
Francesca, please, you're not yourself. Perhaps we'd better place it in the vault until...
No, no. I must have it now. Now.
Very well, my dear. Francesca, where are you going?
Out on the balcony, Donaldo. I want to look at it again. In the rays of the sun. There is a light. A light I must see.
Again she held you up. Accursed goblet. Again came that blinding flash of light when you met the sun. I staggered from the room, my eyes smarting from the glare. Threw myself on my bed, tried to sleep, but I could not sleep. My eyes were wide open, my evil destiny. I saw only you, jeering at me, taunting me, as you are doing now. It was only this morning that Angelo Lanzi, my police chief, came to see me.
Excellency, I have a report of interest.
Well, Lanzi?
Well? That silversmith you banished from the island, he has come back.
Back?
Yes.
Ferdinand?
I believe that was his name. A little man mumbling to himself, always mumbling one word.
Goblet.
Yes, Excellency, goblet. How did you know?
Never mind, never mind.
Lancey, where did you see this silversmith?
Why, it's very strange, Excellency. He stood on the hill overlooking the customs house and stared at your villa.
Yes, Lancey, yes?
There was something bright flashing from an upper story, the gleam of metal in the sun, perhaps. The silversmith watched it as though it were some kind of signal. He never took his eyes from it.
Excellency, Excellency, something has happened.
Yes, Rosa?
Giulio, the guard, he has been attacked.
It's Ferdinand. He's come for Francesca. The trellis to our balcony. Come with me, Rosa. We must stop them.
Yes, Excellency.
Francesca! It's I, Donaldo. Open the door, do you hear? Francesca!
There is no answer, Excellency. I am afraid.
Francesca! In the name of heaven, speak! Rosa, step to one side. I'm going to break down the door.
Yes, Excellency. She has gone, Excellency. See, the French windows to the balcony are open. But she has left the silver goblet on the table.
Yes, Rosa. She has left the goblet.
Excellency, the goblet. It is a fire from the rays of the sun. Mamma, look. It is a blinding light. A sign from heaven, surely. An evil sign.
Yes, Rosa. Shut the windows and draw the blinds.
Yes, Excellency.
Now leave me, Rosa. Go about your duties.
But, Excellency...
Leave me alone with the goblet. You hear?
Yes, Excellency, if this is your wish.
Rosa has gone away as I ordered her to and left me alone. Francesca is gone. My beloved is gone. But oh, how considerate of her. She left me you. You! You! But are you not a part of her? Did she not say herself that everything that silversmith made for her became a part of her? Lived as she did, had a soul and life. Yes, goblet, you. She left me more than she could ever give me when she herself was here. She left me you.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have heard another immortal tale in The Weird Circle. Bellkeeper, toll the bell. Be here in this lonely cave by the restless sea once again next time for another immortal tale in The Weird Circle.
Wasn't it scary? I guess it just proves that all that glitters is not gold, huh? Yes. In fact, you might even say it was a lesson in tarnished love, huh? But what do you expect from royalty? After all, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, huh? Some might even say his cup runneth over, huh? I wonder if he lived in the British Isles. Then all his wealth would be in sterling, huh? Yes. No wonder he didn't worry about prevention. He had pounds of cure. But the poor devil. No, really. Now he's all alone, thinking about his life without his wife.
He'll probably get over it, though. Except for the anniversary. Especially the silver one, huh?
Oh. But seriously, no, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. It could have been a movie. Then he'd have to see it all on the silver screen, huh? So I guess it just goes to show that every cloud does have a silver lining, huh?
The House of Squibb presents Academy Award. Every week, Squibb brings you Hollywood's finest, the great picture plays, the great actors and actresses. Techniques and skills chosen from the honor roll of those who have won or been nominated for the famous Golden Oscar of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. And now, E.R. Squibb and Sons, manufacturing chemist to the medical profession since 1858. Bring you the distinguished star, Mr. Humphrey Bogart, who as Best Actor of the Year was nominated for the 1943 Academy Award. You will also hear Miss Mary Astor, who won the 1941 Academy Award as Best Supporting Actress of the Year, and Sidney Greenstreet, who was nominated for the 1941 Academy Award as Best Supporting Actor. Tonight, Mr. Bogart, Miss Astor, and Mr. Greenstreet will play the famous roles they created for the screen in The Maltese Falcon, the thrilling mystery which was nominated as Best Production of the Year for the 1941 Academy Award.
My name is Spade, Sam Spade. License number 357896, issued for the Police Department of San Francisco. Occupation, private detective, sometimes known as Private Eye. My files in the case of the Maltese Falcon are closed, but I've got the Maltese Falcon. I got it, and some dough. My partner got murdered, and a very slick chick went up for life. I'll tell you about it. This slick dame comes to see me one day, gives me a song and dance about her sister and a guy called Floyd Thursday. She wants us to get her sister back before her mother and father get in from Hawaii. I put my partner, Miles Archer, on the case. At night, he gets murdered. And so does this guy, Thursby. I go around to the apartment where the dame is living, the one called Bridget O'Shaughnessy. She had something I seemed to go for.
Oh, Mr. Spade, come in.
I have come in.
Oh, yes, so you have. Mr. Spade, tell me, am I to blame for last night?
You warned us that Thursby was dangerous. Of course, you lied to us about your sister and all that, but that doesn't count. We didn't believe you.
Oh, help me, Mr. Spade. I need help so badly. I've no right to ask you, but I do ask you. Help me.
You won't need much of anybody's help. You're good. You're awful good. It's chiefly your eyes, I think, and that throb you get into your voice when you say things like, help me, Mr. Spade.
I deserve that. But, oh, the lie was in the way I said it, and not at all in what I said.
If I'm going to help you, I've got to have some sort of a line on your Floyd Thursby.
I met him in the Orient. We came here from Hong Kong last week.
Did he kill Archer?
Yes, certainly.
Picked a nice sort of playmate.
Only that sort could have helped me if he had been loyal.
How bad a hole are you actually in?
As bad as could be.
Physical danger?
I'm not heroic. I don't think there's anything worse than death.
Then it's that.
It's that as surely as we're sitting here. Unless you help me.
Who killed Thursby? Your enemies or his?
I don't know. His, I suppose. I'm afraid. I don't know.
Who are these enemies?
Well, there's a small, dark man with white teeth and a smooth, dangerous, fat man.
Oh, this is hopeless. Well, how much money have you got?
I have about $500 left.
Give it to me. There's only 400 here.
I had to keep some to live on.
Okay. I'll be back as soon as I can. You needn't come to the door with me. I can let myself out. I went by the office then and found a dark little guy with very white teeth waiting for me. His name was Joel Cairo. He was a Greek.
Mr. Spade, I'm trying to recover an ornament that has been, shall we say, mislaid. I thought and hoped you could assist me.
Uh-huh.
The ornament is a statuette. The black figure of a bird. I'm prepared to pay the sum of $5,000 for its recovery, and no questions asked.
$5,000 is a lot of money. It's a very interesting figure.
You will put your hands together at the back of your neck, Mr. Spade.
Huh? Oh, sure.
I shall shoot you if you try to stop me, Mr. Spade. But I must search your office.
You won't find anything but a pair of worn-out rubbers, a half pint of rum, and a pack of chewing gum.
We shall see. Please stand up. So.
Sure. This way?
No, the other way.
Sure. I'll take the gun, Mr. Cairo. Now get up.
I am very slow in things like that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm still prepared to pay $5,000 for the return of the figure. Do you have it, Mr. Spade?
No.
If it is not here, why did you just risk serious injury to prevent my searching for it?
Well, I should sit around and let people come in and stick me up.
You wish some assurance of my sincerity. A retainer?
I might.
Say, $100.
You better make it $200. Thanks. Your first guess was that I had the bird. What's your second guess?
That you know where it is, or where you can get it.
Now, you're not hiring me to murder or do burglary, but to get back the figure in some lawful way. Say, from a dame with red hair, or a smooth, dangerous fat man.
Oh, so you know. You must beware of them. They would stop at nothing. May I have my pistol now?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd forgotten it.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Spade, you will kindly clasp your hands behind your neck.
What the?
Don't move, Mr. Spade. This time I might shoot. I insist on searching your office.
Sure. Go ahead. I finally got rid of the Greek and started back for Bridget O'Shaughnessy's apartment. Matter of fact, I had a hunch that the Greek was going there himself and started to tail his cab when a sad-faced guy poked something into my back and said...
Come on. The fat man wants to see you. Here he is, Mr. Gutman. The guy who was talking to the dame in the Greek.
Ah, Mr. Spade.
Mr. Gutman?
We begin well, sir. I distrust a man who talks too much.
I like to talk.
Of course, talking's something you can't do judiciously unless you keep in practice.
Yeah.
Now, sir, we'll talk if you like. And I'll tell you right out that I'm a man who likes talking to a man who likes to talk.
Swell. Will we talk about the blackbird?
You're the man for me, sir. No beating about the bush. Right to the point. Let us talk about the blackbird by all means. Mr. Spade, have you any conception of how much money can be got for that blackbird?
No.
Well, sir, if I told you half, you'd call me a liar.
No, not even if I thought so. Would you just tell me what it is and I'll figure out the profits?
You mean you don't know what that bird is?
Well, I know what it's supposed to look like. I know the value in human life you people put on it.
Miss O'Shaughnessy didn't tell you what it is? And Cairo didn't either?
He offered me $10,000 for it.
$10,000? And dollars, mind you, not even pounds. They must know what it is. Or do they? What is your impression?
I can't tell. They're both lying.
If they don't know... I'm the only one in the whole wide, sweet world who guesses.
Well, when you've told me, that'll make two of us.
Mathematically correct, sir. But I don't know for certain that I'm going to tell you.
Well, don't be foolish. You know what it is, I know where it is. That's why I'm here.
Well, sir, where is it?
Don't be silly.
You see, I must tell you what I know, but you will not tell me what you know. That is hardly equitable, sir. No. I don't think we can do business along those lines.
Yeah, well, think again and think fast. I can get along without you and keep that gunsel away from me while you're making up your mind. I'll kill him.
Well, sir, I must say you're the most violent temper.
Well, what are you wasting time for? You've got till 5:30. Then you're either in or out for keeps. Three characters and a black bird. Well, all I knew was my partner was dead and the cops were getting very uncooperative about the whole thing, including who killed Floyd Thursby. I thought I'd better get back to see that O'Shaughnessy dame before it was too late. sure enough, it almost was.
They came here and took him away.
Took who away? Who?
The police. They wanted to talk to you, too. They took Mr. Cairo with them.
What was he doing here?
He came to talk about the bird.
What is this bird, this falcon that everybody's all steamed up about?
Suppose I wouldn't tell you anything at all about it. What would you do? Something wild and unpredictable?
Maybe.
Well, it's a black figure, as you know. Smooth and shiny of a bird. A hawk or falcon about 12 inches high.
Now, what makes it so important?
I don't know. They wouldn't tell me. But they promised me 500 pounds if I helped them get it from the man who had it.
Go ahead.
They promised me 500 pounds to help them, and I did. Then we found that Joel Cairo was going to take the falcon and desert Floyd and me. So we did that to Joel first.
You are a liar.
I am a liar. I've always been a liar.
Well, don't brag about it. Is there any truth at all in that yarn?
Some. Not very much.
Well, we've got plenty of time. I'll put some coffee on and we'll try again.
Oh, I'm so tired. So tired of lying and thinking up lies and not knowing what is a lie and what is the truth. Oh, darling, don't stare at me like that. Come closer, darling.
It is something to do while waiting. Why not?
Kiss me, Sam Spade. Kiss me.
Why not? That happens every time. I'll get it.
Be careful, darling.
Okay. Come on, you. He wants to see you.
Well, if it isn't the fat man's killer. Hello, pale face. How many did you bump off today?
Shut up. Tupman's waiting for
no
you.
No kidding. What kept you?
Darling, what does he want?
He wants me. The fat man's been thinking things over.
Well, Mr. Spade, I must apologize for sending for you in this fashion.
Now, never mind. Let's talk about the bird.
All right, let's. What do you think of the order of the Hospital of St. John of Jerusalem?
Crusaders or something, weren't they?
Very good. In 1539, these crusading knights persuaded Emperor Charles V to give them the island of Malta. He made but one condition. They were to pay him each year for the tribute of a falcon, in acknowledgement that Malta was still under Spain. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Have you any conception of the extreme immeasurable wealth of the order of that time?
Well, I imagine they were pretty well fixed.
They were rolling in wealth, sir. They hit upon the happy thought of sending the emperor for the first year's tribute, not an insignificant live bird, a glorious golden falcon, encrusted from head to foot with the finest jewels in their coffer. Allow me to replenish your drink, sir. Well, what do you think of these knights?
I don't know.
Well, sir, the glorious falcon never reached Spain. Buccaneers raided the galleon. In 1713, the bird showed up in Sicily. In 1840, in Paris. And it had by that time acquired a coat of black enamel, looking like nothing but a fairly interesting black statue. In 1923, a Greek dealer found it in an obscure Paris shop. He knew what it was. I heard about it in London and rushed over to buy it. But the Greek was murdered and the falcon gone. That was 23 years ago. For 23 years, I searched for the bird. I traced it to the home of a Russian general, Kemedov. But he wouldn't sell, even though he knew nothing of its value. I was forced to send my agents after. They got it, sir. But I haven't got it. But I'm going to get it, sir. How soon can you... how soon are you willing to produce the falcon?
A couple of days.
That is satisfactory. Well, sir, here's a fair bargain and profits large enough for both of us.
What's your idea of a fair bargain?
Should I say 100,000?
Why not?
What did you say to a quarter of a million?
Oh, then you think the dingus is worth a million, huh?
Why not?
Yeah. Why not? Say, I feel kind of funny, Gutman. That drink.
My dear man, how could you suggest anything so crude?
I...
Wilma.
Yeah. The drink got him, huh?
Put your guns away, Wilma. You must learn to be subtle in these things, like me.
Out like a light, huh? Well, I owe him something, the louse. He thinks he's tough. Let's see if he can take this.
That's enough, Wilma. You've kicked him enough. Never do to kill him here. Besides, Wilma, you know how I hate the sight of blood.
I guess the name of Sam Spade was a cinch for the back page obituaries, but I came out of it somehow and managed to get up and stagger out of that apartment. I went around to the hotel where Joel Cairo had a room and made a deal with a house dick to let me search it. All I could find was a newspaper in the wastebasket folded back to the steamship news. There was a list of arrivals, and one was marked. It said, 8:07 a.m., the La Paloma from Hong Kong. That was good enough for me. I got a cab and rode down to the docks. The La Paloma was on fire and burning beautifully. I went back to my office to hold my aching head and think things over when the door opened. The tall guy in a long black overcoat stood there with a package in his hands, making gurgling noises before he fell like a tree. He should have. He was dead. I took a good look at him. He was the mate off the La Paloma. I unwrapped his package, and there it was. The black bird. The Maltese falcon. I grabbed the phone and listened. It was British Bridget O'Shaughnessy, and she said she was in trouble. I found her shivering in the dark corner of an office building. I took her and the falcon home to my apartment. I put her on the couch. I put the falcon in the icebox where no one would think to look for anything, including ice. I came back in and switched on the lights and found a surprise party waiting to greet me.
Well, sir, we're all here. Now let's sit down and be comfortable and talk.
Sure. Get away from me, Gunsel. You're not going to frisk me.
Stand still.
Shut up. Put your paw on me, and I'm going to make you use that gun. Ask your boss if he wants me shut up before we talk.
Never mind, Wilma. You're certainly a most headstrong individual, Mr. Spade. Well, let's be seated.
You too, Cairo. You can put down your gun, too.
Of course, Mr. Spade. I was only using caution, as it were.
You ready, Gutman? Are you ready to make the first payment and take the falcon off my hands?
Well, sir, as to that, here are $10,000, sir.
Oh, we were talking about more money than this.
Yes, sir, we were. But this is genuine coin of the realm, sir. With a dollar of this, you can buy $10 of talk. Besides, the more of us would be taken care of now.
Well, that may be, but I've got the falcon.
I should not think it would be necessary to remind you, Mr. Spade, that though you may have the falcon, yet we certainly have you.
Yes, I'm trying not to let that worry me. We'll come to the money later. There's another thing to be taken care of first. We've got to have a fall guy. The police have to have a victim. Somebody they can stick for those three murders.
Two. Only two murders, Mr. Spade. Thursby undoubtedly killed your partner.
All right, two. What difference does it make? The point is, we've got to give the police...
Come, come, Mr. Spade. You can't expect us to believe at this late date. You are the least afraid of the police, or that you're not able to handle...
I'm up to my neck, Gutman. I've got to come through with somebody, a victim, when the time comes. If I don't, I'll be it. Let's give him the gun, Sully. He actually did shoot Thursby, and the other one, didn't he? Anyway, he's made to order for the part. Let's turn him over to the cops.
Get up on your feet.
I've taken all the writing from you I'm going to take. Get up. Shoot it out.
No, no, Wilma, don't shoot.
There. There, Gunsel, that'll take care of you. Put him on the sofa. Sorry, Bridget, but you seem to have recovered.
I'm all right.
Good. Well, gentlemen, there's our fall guy. Now, gentlemen, you agree, or I'll turn the falcon and the whole lot of you in.
Mr. Spade, I don't like this. What if we took matters into our own hands and killed you?
You won't, or you'll never find the falcon.
True, but there are other ways we could make you talk.
No, I'd take it and make you kill me, and then you'd end up the same way.
I believe you would, too.
Well?
I've always felt toward Wilma like a father. But you can have him.
Well, let's get the details fixed. Why did he shoot Thursby?
Thursby was Miss O'Shaughnessy's ally. We thought in disposing of him, we would teach Miss O'Shaughnessy to patch up her differences with us regarding the falcon.
And the mate from the La Paloma.
That was Miss O'Shaughnessy's fault. Cairo got in touch with me when he saw the notice of the ship's arrival. He remembered that the mate and Miss O'Shaughnessy had been friendly in Hong Kong. He called on this man, but he, with Miss O'Shaughnessy and the bird, slipped through our fingers. We followed them to her apartment, and Wilma shot the mate as he was coming down the fire escape. He shot him many times, but the man was tough, and he did not drop the falcon. We persuaded Miss O'Shaughnessy to call your office. But unfortunately, she did not call in time to prevent you from meeting the mate and getting the falcon.
I see.
And now, sir, would it be presumptuous if we asked to see the falcon?
Okay. It's in my icebox.
Icebox, I see. Oh, you are a character, sir. Yes, very, very clever of you. Very.
I've got it.
Bring it in here at once.
Here. Wrapped in this.
Oh, after 23 years. It is it. We'll make sure. Hand me your knife, sir.
Here.
I'll peel off some of this disfiguring enamel.
All right, O'Shaughnessy, you've had your little joke. Now tell us about
it. No, Sam, no. That's the one I got from the Russian, I swear.
You bungled it, Gutman. You and your stupid attempt to buy it. The Russian caught on how valuable it was. No wonder we had so little trouble stealing it. You imbecile. You bloated idiot.
Yes. This is the Russian's hand. There's no doubt of it. Well, sir, what do you suggest? Shall we stand here and shed tears and call each other names? Or shall we go to Istanbul and to interview our Russian friend?
Go to Istanbul?
For 23 years, I have wanted that little item and have been trying to get it. If I must spend another year on the quest, well, that will be an added expenditure in time only.
I go with you.
Wilma's gone.
Wilma's gone. So he has. That makes it imperative that we go too. Oh, by the way, sir, I'll trouble you for my envelope containing the $10,000.
I kept my end of the bargain, but I'll settle for $1,000 for expenses.
Thank you. I'll allow you the $1,000.
That'll take care of my time.
Now, sir, we'll say goodbye to you unless you care to undertake the Istanbul expedition with us. You don't? That's too bad. Well, sir, the shortest farewells are best. Adieu. And to you, Miss O'Shaughnessy, I leave the rarer avis there on the table as a little memento. The Maltese falcon.
O'Shaughnessy taught.
Where shall I begin?
You came to me and asked me to have Thursby followed. I put my partner on it. He followed Thursby. He was killed. You must have told Thursby he was being followed.
I told him, yes, but please believe me, Sam. I wouldn't have told him if I'd thought Floyd Thursby would kill your partner.
Miles hadn't many brains, but he had too many years' experience as a detective to be caught like that by a man he was shadowing up a blind alley with his gun tucked away in his hip and his overcoat buttoned. But he'd have gone up there with you, Angel. He was just dumb enough for that. And then you could have stood as close to him in the dark as you liked and put a bullet through him.
Don't talk like that to me, Sam. You know I didn't
know.
Stop
it. Why did you shoot him?
I didn't mean to at first. I can't look at you and tell you this,
You thought Thursby would tackle him. If he got Thursby, then you were rid of him. If Thursby won, you had something on him. Enough to be rid of him for good. Wasn't that it?
Something like that.
But when Thursby backed down, you took the gun and did the job yourself.
Oh, Sam, sweetheart, from the very first instant I saw you, I knew.
You angel. Well, if you get a good break, you'll be out of San Quentin in 20 years, and you can come back to me then. I hope they don't hang you, Precious, for that sweet neck.
You know deep down in your heart that in spite of anything I've done, I love you.
I don't care who loves who. I'm not going to play the sap for you. I won't walk in Thursby's and I don't know how many others' footsteps. You killed my partner, and you're going over for it.
Why must you do this to me, Sam? Surely your partner wasn't as much to you
as... Listen to me. This won't do any good. You'll never understand me, but I'll try once and then give it up. Listen, when a man's partner is killed, he's supposed to do something about it. And it happens we're in the detective business. Well, when one of your organization gets killed, it's bad business to let the killer get away with it. Bad all around. Bad for every detective everywhere.
You can't send me to the... Sam, you can't. You love me. You love me.
Maybe I do. What of it? Maybe next month I won't. I've been through it before. I'll have some rotten nights after I've sent you over, but that'll pass. I want you, sure, but I won't take you at the price because all of me wants to, regardless of consequences. Because you counted on that with me the same as you counted on that with all the others.
Sam, darling, kiss me, kiss me.
Sure. Sure, baby.
What are you doing? Who are you calling?
The cops, baby. The cops to come and take you away.
scary kids, huh? The Maltese Falcon, bear. I once knew a bartender who had a Maltese, but his customers drank regular beer, huh? I think he worked at the Purple Parrot, the bar the fat man owned. Oh, those fat men, they sure get around, huh? But what about Bogey, huh? He's a hustler, too. He got 2 stones with 1 bird, huh? Oh, no bird dog about that, either. But the statues, they weren't the only thing hard. Oh, Bogey, he was cruel, cruel. His motto was, if you love someone, you'll set them up, huh? Yes, it's people like that that you really need to watch like a hawk, huh? But then again, maybe she was the black bird of the family, huh? Well, with that, I've got to fly. So until next week, same bat time, same bat station. This is a count reminding you that the safest way to catch a bird is to scrape the enamel off its tail, huh?
Device to you until next week.
No.